You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the ESPN studios in Bristol, Connecticut, I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN. It has been quite a morning after an extraordinary night in the NBA bubble. We will get to all of that as the news is developing around us. It could very well impact the playoffs. We will have that for you in just a moment. I do want to start quickly on the field and on the court because there was significant action yesterday. We'll start with history made on the baseball diamond. Let me get you through the games and then we'll get you to the news because we have to show you what Lucas Giolito did yesterday for the White Sox against the Pirates. Top of seven with a no-no through six. It looks like it's going to get broken up here by Brian Reynolds, but Tim Anderson has other thoughts, makes the great play as we take another look, preserving the no-hitter. And now it's going on to the ninth. Lucas Giolito, who was dominant in every way, had 12 strikeouts through eight innings and now looking to make history. Gerard Dyson, that's 13 strikeouts as they check it, and Giolito is two outs away. Jose Osuna, that's a can of corn. Here comes Adam Engel. And so we are one out away for Lucas Giolito. And watch how close Eric Gonzalez comes to breaking this up. On an 0-2 pitch with two outs, Eric Gonzalez, oh, that is smashed, but it's right at Engel, who was there for the catch, the first no-hitter of the baseball season, the first for the White Sox since April of 2012. Sox win. Giolito makes history.
I always envisioned that I'd throw a no-hitter in the big leagues. If you were to ask me about it in 18, I probably would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? But I knew it was in there. I knew it was possible that I'd be able to pull one off, and I'm glad that we were able to get it done.
Giolito got it done in a huge way. He did it by missing bats. He generated 30 swing and misses. That's the second most in a no-hitter since they've been tracking that stuff. Nolan Ryan, as you see, in 1990, the only one who had more. It was actually the most swing and misses by any pitcher in any game since James Paxton 2 years ago. So that was on the baseball diamond. The game of the night in the NBA's bubble involved that man, Luka Doncic, who has been the story of the playoffs, playing again without Kristaps Porzingis and trying again to knock off the Clippers. But on this night, it would be all L.A. Kawhi Leonard feeling it early. Luka Doncic, they're all over him defensively. Here's one of his five turnovers on the night. The Clippers would start to roll, and they would never look back. You take a look here. That's Paul George. What a sight for sore eyes that is. He had a huge night. Kawhi and Paul George combining for 24 in the first quarter. Clippers now up 26 in the third. How about Paul George? How about a bounce back? 35 points for him last night. More than he had in the previous three games combined. Then we have just insult being added to injury here for the Mavericks. They're frustrated. There's a call. There's a challenge. Who's shooting the foul shots? Rick Carlisle doesn't like it. He gets thrown out. So he didn't have to watch the end of this thing. Just over 2 minutes left in the third. Clippers pulling away. Kawhi, yes, 32 points, 12 of 19 shooting for Kawhi Leonard. Fourth quarter game is basically over. Montrezl Harrell, exclamation point. Doncic had 22, but the Clippers never look back. 154-111, the final score last night. And if the Clippers play like they did last night, they could be set up for quite the run here. 154 points they scored, third most in a single playoff game in NBA history, and the most in franchise history. And so I want to mention here, and we are doing this because it is developing around us, sort of by the seat of our pants, but in the last half hour, on Keyshawn and J. Will and Zubin, our new radio show in the morning, KJZ, I call them, there has been some developing news regarding the playoff series between Boston and Toronto, which starts tomorrow. You may have heard some people connected to the series saying that as a result of the frustration over issues involving social injustice and trying to make an even bigger statement, that there has been some consideration given by some to not playing the game tomorrow night. I'm going to read these to you directly as they just came in from my email. Jay Williams apparently was in a conversation with Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors, and Lowry told him that anything and everything is currently on the table. Meanwhile, Nick Nurse, who is the coach of the Raptors, was a guest on KJZ within the last 20 minutes or so. This is what he said.
You know, we're listening to him, Jay. I think our president
Masai Ujiri and myself have during a lot of this have opened the floor to these guys and had several meetings just as maybe an open forum to let them get their thoughts and feelings and ideas out there on the table. You know, we're going to meet here shortly, Jay, so we'll have a little more info in a bit, but we're going to listen to them.
So again, the team, the Raptors, are planning to have a meeting shortly, and we will see what news comes out of that. And again, some consideration, at least, again, anything and everything being discussed, according to Kyle Lowry in a text to RJ Williams. Richard Jefferson joins me for the first time this morning. Vince Carter is back with us here. We had a very, RJ, I don't know if you saw it, but we had a very open and emotional conversation at the beginning of our show today with Vince and with David Fizdale and several others. About the emotional comments that Doc Rivers made last night. I'd like to change the subject here now to this, to the idea that these players are having conversations, at least giving consideration to the idea that they would skip playing a playoff game tomorrow night, something that has been pointed out this morning. They have worked their entire lives for the opportunity to play for a championship. Both of you know how precious the opportunity to play these huge games are. And here are these players willing to make that kind of sacrifice in the interest of trying to advance their message and their cause. RJ, I just want to give you the floor and hear what your thoughts are this morning.
Well, when you go back to the beginning of this bubble process, you know, there was obviously concerns, about personal health. And then obviously with the murder of George Floyd, things started to get a little bit more intense. And players considered sitting out. You remember this. And so they set together with the NBA and decided how to put out a positive message. That's what they wanted to do. But a lot of players were just, their hearts and minds weren't there. They weren't in the moment. So there was a lot of guys, there was consideration. Multiple WNBA players, Avery Bradley decided not to play. There was tons of people that decided to not focus on basketball and to focus on the issues that face our communities. And then here you have in the bubble, and all of these players, they said they never wanted to take away the message. And I want to compliment the NBA on really focusing on the message that these players wanted. But now they're in this bubble, and you still see similar things. Not that this was going to eradicate what was going on in our communities and in our country, but ultimately their hearts and minds aren't in it. Like that's the thing that they're talking about, to go out there and try and play a basketball game. And let me say this, one of the big things that really brought these players in is that they were told that we need sports to heal this country. We need sports to heal America. This will bring us together. We need you to go out and entertain us and take our minds off of all the things that are going on. Well, what happens when the entertainers' minds aren't in it because of what's going on in their community? And now that's what we're facing today. That's what the players are trying to decide, if their hearts and minds can be in a place where they're supposed to go heal other people while they're hurting.
I'm sure there are many who are watching this who might be thinking to themselves, well, what exact purpose would be served by not playing a playoff game? Well, I saw one of the players give voice to that. I apologize that I forget who it was, but one of the players that I was reading the quotes yesterday saying, now we don't play this game. Now all of a sudden, the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, this latest event took place in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which is very near Milwaukee. The owner of the Milwaukee Bucks is now adding additional pressure on local authorities there. There is an effect that they could see. So that if you're wondering what the reasoning behind that would be, that was at least one of the examples that I read yesterday. Vince, with that as the backdrop, I just wonder if you could try and put yourself into these conversations. What thoughts would you have, do you think, if you were there? What would you advise these players?
Well, first I'll say, what better time than the second round of the playoffs than to do something like this? Statement will be made, and all eyes will be on both of these teams. I would like to see them, these guys, both teams get together and sit on a panel or forum and have dialogue and just discuss and get everything, all of their feelings out on the table to move forward and what these guys are thinking. Because like I said, there's been a lot of guys prior to the bubble who were protesting and out in their communities speaking. And now with the bubble, you don't have that freedom to move about and be a part of the rallies and everything that's going on outside of the bubble. So I think if these teams do not play, having them come together, sitting together and kind of discussing the issues and what's on their hearts and what's on their minds, I think is very important because all eyes will be watching. And of course, we'll be talking about it. So what better time?
You know, I've heard a few players, I believe George Hill was one of them, who have wondered aloud whether they made the right decision by going down there and playing during this time and whether it was indeed taking attention and focus away. Richard, what are your thoughts on that as you hear these players talk about it? I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, we know that Black Lives Matter written on the court and these players, you know, kneeling together. We knew that that wasn't going to eradicate racism in our country. We knew that. But it was more of to draw attention. So, you know, I can't speak for every individual player. There are some players that believe that what they're doing is the right thing, and there are some players that believe that all of their attention would be better served at these rallies, at these protests, because maybe they can influence, you know, a peaceful protest. Maybe they can raise even more awareness. Maybe they can get in and have a meeting with their congressman or their senator. And so, you know, I think that's an individual thing. I think my biggest issue and what I think the issue is for these players is that they saw what was going on in our country with COVID and then obviously the protests, but they were sold on here. We can help the country and we can help heal the country. Even people that might not believe in Black Lives Matter, they believe in basketball. And so if you bring them basketball back, it can lower tension. Well, it's not having the desired effect. And so now that's why players are now questioning, why are they there when they can be helping in other places?
All right, so just to recap what we have as of right now, as far as where the story has developed into on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning on ESPN Radio, Kyle Lowry of the Raptors told J. Will, we are talking about anything and everything with regard to the possibility of not playing that game. And Nick Nurse said of the Raptors, the head coach said that team will have a meeting shortly where everything will be on the table and they will make some sort of decision. So we will be waiting to see if any further news develops from there. We'll certainly keep you posted. In the meantime, I'll take a short break. We'll do much more basketball with these guys, actual on-the-court basketball, including in Philadelphia. Brett Brown is out as coach. Could more changes be in store with the process? We will talk about what it is they should be doing in Philly. And then with concerns swirling around college football, how important is it for the draft class of 21 to get on the field one more time? We'll answer that question and others. You are watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let us run the bases around action for the majors yesterday. In addition to the no-hitter thrown by Lucas Giolito of the White Sox, Donovan Solano hit a walk-off two-run shot. Giants beat the Dodgers 10-8 in 11. Dodgers are 4-4 against the Giants this year. They're 18-5 against everybody else. What else? Tyler Glasnow. He struck out 13 as the Rays beat the Orioles 4-2. Struck out 9 of the last 10 he faced, pitching 7 strong. Tampa, 20th win of the season, tied for the most in the American League. And speaking of strikeouts, Shane Bieber struck out 10 over 6 innings. Indians beat the Twins 4-2. His third straight start with at least 10 strikeouts. Francisco Lindor hit a go-ahead two-run shot right about there in the bottom of the 6th. He's hitting .351 over his last 9 games. And if you like baseball, we're the place to watch tonight. Aaron Judge returns for the Yankees. They take on the Braves at 7 Eastern. That's followed by Mike Yastrzemski and the Red Hot Giants, who went for their 8th straight win as they host Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. Both games tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, here's a story I find very interesting. Despite his team's fall season being postponed, right, they're not playing. Quarterback Trey Lance, who was a top NFL draft prospect, will have one chance to showcase his talent. His school, North Dakota State, plans to play one game against Central Arkansas on October 3rd. And despite only being able to play that one game, our Todd McShay sees Lance as the 14th pick in the draft this coming year to Chicago. That's where he promotes him being as far as the way too early mock draft. In 2019, Lance had ridiculous numbers, threw for 2,700 yards, 28 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So this is about as 2020 a story as you could ever possibly imagine. The school that isn't playing this fall is now talking about playing one game to give this kid a showcase. Dan Orlovsky joins our show for the first time this morning. And Dan, I will ask you, is it a good idea for this kid and for this school to be playing this one game?
Absolutely. Here's the thing, Greeny, because the number one quarterback in this draft is going to be Trevor Lawrence. But it really the number two guy off the board is right now a battle between him and Justin Fields, the quarterback out of Ohio State. Right now, Ohio State obviously is not playing any games this fall. And so he's going to have the freshest film when it comes to these two guys. The second thing is this. He was a freshman last year, as you just talked about. A lot of the scouts in the NFL, the general managers in the NFL, these decision makers, they didn't spend a ton of time last year watching a freshman play football, especially at the quarterback position. So this would give them the opportunity to go to that game and see him play live football games and maybe fall in love with him. We all know it takes one team to fall in love with you. You want a bunch, but it takes one. And so, yes, right now he is potentially or projected to be a top 15, top 20 pick. But to have the one game to go, all right, scouts, come see me and watch how good I am, this is an absolute benefit for him. It could potentially be on national television. This is a no-brainer for him to go play in this game.
Again, it's Central Arkansas, October 3rd. Dominique Foxworth, what do you think?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Uh-oh. Am I the only one who doesn't hear Neek? We must be having some trouble with his audio. We will work on that. Ryan Clark, I'll come to you. What do you think of this idea?
I think it's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. I think it's dumb.
Why is it stupid?
And listen, because you don't get to say you're postponing your season for whatever reasons they've decided to not play. Obviously, you're going through a pandemic. You want to protect your players. But, oh, we got this quarterback that's really good. We're going to give him a one-game showcase. That's dumb. If my son's a cornerback on that team, as he is at Arizona State University, I'm going to ask, okay, so this game's safe, but 10 games aren't safe. Or you want to protect my son from everything but giving this one guy a showcase. That doesn't make sense that you're going to make a decision based on one player. You either can play or you cannot. And if you can't play, you don't. The other thing is, too, you know, I hear what Dan is saying about, oh, it could be a showcase. I could go out and play. I had a showcase. I threw 28 touchdowns. I ain't have no picks. Y'all know who I am. I'm not going to go out here and give you a one-game showcase where if I play bad, I don't have the next week. Go watch the film. And if you want to see a showcase, come to my pro day. See me at the combine. If I'm him, I'm not playing. Why am I going to risk injury for one game against Central Arkansas? I don't think this is a good idea for anybody. And I also think that it's a bad look for the school and for the rest of the players on that team. If you're going to be the sacrificial lambs for one quarterback, for one player, I got an issue with that as a parent.
That's an interesting thought. Dan, it's really two separate conversations we're having now. One of them is whether it's beneficial for this individual player. The other is whether it's reasonable for the school to be scheduling one game in a season they otherwise don't feel it's safe to play. Dan, I just would like to hear your thoughts on that, and then I'll get back to Dominique.
Yeah, I would say this. If you're North Dakota State and you have the opportunity to be on a pedestal, right, you could potentially be the only game that week, and you're top five quarterback is going to be playing in it. We're all going to be talking about that game that week leading up to it and afterwards. So it's a great opportunity for the school, again, North Dakota State, this is not Ohio State, to be in much more of the limelight and a lot more people's eyes nationally than they would be. So it makes a ton of sense for the school as well. Hey, our quarterback, our top five pick in the NFL draft is going to be playing this week. That's a massive recruiting tool for them. So I disagree with RC that this doesn't make sense. These kids want to play a bunch of football as well. So it gives them that opportunity. This is a win for the school. It's a win for Trey Lance.
I think we've got Neek back. Go ahead, Dominique.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see it as a win for Trey Lance. They're playing Central Arkansas State. Like, it's not like there are questions out there if he can cook Central Arkansas State. It's not like he's playing Alabama. It's East-West Arkansas State or whatever. Like, they're not going to – no one who comes into this is going to have their opinion changed. If they think that Trey Lance is a baller, he's going to play well, and they're going to be like, hey, well, we saw that he could ball. They think that he's not good enough. No matter how well he plays, they're going to say the competition isn't good enough. And if he plays poorly, people are going to say, this is a unique circumstance. We don't understand. Like, I don't see that there's much to be gained for him by playing in this game. It's just exposing a lot of people to something that they don't need to be exposed to. I think Dan's point is well made, that the other players will be able to showcase their talent also, but I don't know that that benefits the school as much as we think it might.
Really quickly, Dan, I'll let you – McElroy had the same thought yesterday, that it's sort of a no-win for the kid, because if he plays well against Central Arkansas, he's supposed to play well against Central Arkansas, and if he plays badly, he really only can lose and can't necessarily gain. Dan, I got 30 seconds. Final thought.
It's all about being able to see him in person. It's all about the scouts and general managers seeing him in person in live. You guys going to invest $35 million off tape? There's a reason why guys go to the Senior Bowl, play really well, and elevate their draft stock, because coaches and general managers and scouts see them in person. This is all about come watch me throw and move in person, not on tape.
Okay, fair enough. We agree to disagree on that one. It'll be really interesting to see if that game winds up getting played. Meanwhile, we'll take a break. As we continue, Luka Doncic become a legend in these playoffs. We will ask Vince Carter and Richard Jefferson if he compares to a certain Hall of Famer they used to run with. That and more as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's run the floor through the action in the NBA's bubble last night. Paul George bounced back 35 points, more than he had in the previous three games combined. Kawhi Leonard added 32. Clippers blew out the Mavs 154-111. Elias says they're the first teammates in playoff history to each score 30 points in under 30 minutes. The other game yesterday, Jamal Murray continues his ridiculous run. He had 42 points, 8 assists, 8 boards. Nuggets beat the Jazz by 10. They force a game 6. Murray is the first player since 1977 with back-to-back 40-point playoff games with 0 turnovers. In other NBA news, Sixers general manager Elton Brand says there are no plans to trade Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. He acknowledges the team lacked intensity, but they're not making any changes after firing their coach Brett Brown. Our Bruce Bowen came on the show yesterday talking about Joel Embiid. He said this.
I feel like if he would have had a vested superstar in Joel Embiid, things wouldn't be this way. Somebody that takes ownership of the fact that you are the go-to guy on that team, that comes into camp in shape, that understands that he has to make others better, that's why he's a max player. I think the accountability is not being placed where it should be, and we need to start holding superstars accountable to being better players on the floor.
Really interesting as Richard Jefferson and Vince Carter rejoin me here. And RJ, I just would love to get your perspective on that. He essentially was saying, it was as part of a longer conversation, that Joel Embiid, as good as he is, isn't the leader that team needs him to be, and that is ultimately the biggest problem he felt in Philadelphia. Is that a reasonable criticism in your mind, Richard Jefferson?
Yes and no. I think it's fair to say that he's not the leader. You know, I always think it's a little funny when people think that your best player should be your leader. That's not always the case. And it's not always the case in all sports. But ultimately, it's like, yeah, I agree, Bruce. You should be able to hold players to a higher level of accountability. But that's not the reality. This is professional sports, and they are more apt to change the coach than they are to change the superstar. And then when they change the coach and then they figure out that the superstar still can't adjust, that's when you change the superstar. But coaches always change before the superstar. That's the reality of professional sports. Bruce knows that, I know that, and you know that, Greeny.
Yeah, no, of course that's true, but that doesn't also mean that there isn't an issue with Embiid that might go beyond the coaching change. Vince, what do you see? You played against him, obviously, many times with those guys. What do you think?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, Bruce spoke it like the old NBA. That's what was expected in the old NBA as the go-to player, as the marquee player. You know, that's the onus does fall on you, and I understand what he's saying, and you know, the new NBA, it's a little different. And of course, like I said, when things go bad, who goes first? The coach. But you want your superstar to take onus, and you want him to come to camp prepared, and you want him to be the voice and set the tone. And I think Joel and Ben, for that matter, have that ability to do so. They just have to, that just what has to be expected for that team. And the way things work now, when a player just is a player and you feel like they underachieve, the first thing goes is the coach. So with that being said, I just feel like, you know, these guys, Joel, in this situation, yes, he should have some accountability for his play, and I would have liked them to see that play through him a little more in that series.
I still do remember years ago, Jeff Van Gundy saying to me on the radio, the most important relationship on any team is between the head coach and the best player. If that relationship works, you have a chance to succeed. And if that relationship doesn't work, you're basically doomed before you start. Again, that's a coach talking. All right, next issue for the two of you guys. Last night obviously was not a great night for Luka Doncic. But this postseason has been his coming out party. He has just been absolutely spectacular. And one of the comparisons that has been made with his court vision and his total command of the game with the ball in his hands was to Jason Kidd. Both of you guys played with Jason Kidd. Vince Carter, I will start with you. As you see Luka Doncic right now, do you see that comparison? What do you think of it?
Right now, Luka is a walking triple-double. I'll give him that. J. Kidd played 19 years, and he's proven that, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, obviously, and he deserved all the accolades he's received. Right now, Luka is on a path to be something like a Jason Kidd. He's more, I look at J. Kidd more of a facilitator. Obviously, he's up there in threes, but what Luka can do on the offensive end as far as scoring is amazing. J. Kidd had the unbelievable ability of setting up players and putting them in positions to, one, make a lot of money, but make a lot of baskets. And you know, you don't look at J. Kidd as like the scorer, but there's been times, RJ, you know this for a fact, when J. Kidd wanted to actually be the scorer he needed to be, he could do so from the three-point line, mid-range, getting to the basket. But Luka, right now, I think the comparison is pretty close. And I think down the line, I hate kind of trying to compare guys early in their careers because we don't know what happens down the line. J. Kidd, and I said 19 years for a reason. J. Kidd played 19 years and has proven what his stats are telling us. Right now, Luka is trending to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's a reasonable way to put it. J. Kidd played 19 years. Luka is only 21 years old. But RJ, you actually brought up this comparison the other day, just in watching him and the way he controls the game with the ball in his hands. It was actually you who first put this thought in my head.
Well, you know, it was so funny. It was Rick Carlisle that first said it. And I was like, wait a second. He can pass as good as Jason Kidd. But then when you watch it and you see his ability to just left, right, his lookaways. Now, I stand this. Magic Johnson and Jason Kidd, there was a certain sexiness to their passes. They would go around the back, off the glass, no look, double bounce, spin. They would come up with crazy, unique ways. But John Stockton's the all-time leading assist guy because he was just simple. He saw the floor. He was able to read defenses. And I think Luka is in that same category with the way he's able to see the ball, with the way he's able to do all that. I'm not saying that, like, scoring-wise, I think Luka is far superior. But from a just purely their vision and their ability to see the floor and create open shots for players, I didn't see it at first, but he's definitely in that category. That's how good he is.
All right, fair enough. So for those who don't realize it, you two guys have known each other a very long time. And I want to put the Wayback Machine on here and let's remember some fun stuff. This won't be fun for Alonzo Mourning. But in 2005, Vince, you both dunked on Alonzo Mourning. Let's take a look at those. Vince, take us through this here.
Let's see. 2005. It was a good year. I recall that game at Miami. In the first quarter, here's RJ, going baseline and just that's what we live for. Like, if you see anybody, I mean, of course, the shot blockers sitting any under the basket, like, you better get to us at the block, not under the basket. And he just takes off and just an easy leader. RJ, I'm speaking the truth here. You know, back in the day, he's like, oh, are you gonna get him? I'm gonna get him. Like, he's sitting under, he's primed to get dunked on. So. RJ did that dunk. I dunked on him in the first quarter as well. And I remember at halftime, RJ, I don't know if you remember, we're sitting in the locker room. I was like, there's no way Zoe will let us dunk on him again because, being prideful and being how he is, he's going to attack us first. I said, the only way we'll pull it off is if you take the bump and then try to dunk it. And lo and behold, there you have it.
What do you remember about that, RJ? What did Zoe say to you guys?
This is what I remember. Right? This is what I remember. Before House of Highlights, before all of the Sports Center and all of those stuff, I remember that if you got a nice dunk, you had a chance to be top five on Sports Center. You had a chance to be number one on Sports Center. That was something that you craved. If you were the number one highlight on Sports Center, that means you were going to be on ESPN News every 30 minutes. And I remember getting that first dunk in the first half. It's like, ooh, that's got a chance to be number one. And then Vince did one of the most epic dunks in the history of the game of basketball, going around his back, going shoulder first. Boom. I went home thinking like, okay, well, that's going to be number one. Maybe I could still make top five. I didn't even make the top 10. People completely forgot about my dunk till years and months later. Like, hey, Jefferson dunked on him that game too. So that's what I remember, not even getting any attention, mainly because Vince, deservingly so, had one of the most impressive dunks I'd ever seen.
RJ, here's the crazy thing. Looking at that video again, you probably had the best view of anybody.
Best view. Did you see my reaction?
And then your reaction, because I was like, that view is like, if anybody had a picture of that view, it would probably be the best angle possible. So it was just, it's crazy. We had good times.
That's a remarkably humble brag to say, Richard, you had the best view of anyone of my dunk on Alonzo Mourning. Okay, then with that thought in mind, for those who didn't remember this, you two guys did a Nike commercial together. Vince, tell us what you remember about this experience.
So I was obviously playing with the Raptors, and I remember coming in. I felt like it was a cold day, and the gym was cold. It was an old gym, like a whole church or church court. Like, you can look at it. I mean, this looks older, and, it's not
the NBA. It was like a military auxiliary gym.
Absolutely. And we were just sitting there like, all right, we were sitting in the locker room getting dressed, and we get our stuff, and we're like, yeah, we're just going to do a couple of dunks, whatever, and just, get up out of here. And I had to fly back to Toronto, and he had to go back, obviously, to Jersey. And we're like, all right, yeah, just do a couple of dunks, give him, something real quick, and we get out of here. And it's like, one dunk here, warm up. RJ dunks. It was like, okay, cool. All right, let's do a little one here, a little windmill. You know, RJ windmill. And it turned into something epic. And as if anybody knows RJ, he's a prankster, he's a jokester, and you can't keep a straight face dealing with him. And RJ, if you remember this, you remember at the end of the commercial when we filmed the last part of the commercial after the rim is broken, and we're supposed to look at each other with a serious face, and I could never do it. You could never do it. And that ended up being the ending of a commercial, which was like ended up being epic and genius because it's like we're laughing at the two of us, what we just showed, and then we break a rim and it made for a great commercial.
It was a lot of fun to relive that.
Well, look,
go ahead, RJ.
Yeah, Vince Carter's the man. It was the highlight. It was the highlight of my thing. I grew up watching him. Best dunker in history of the NBA. I was known a little bit as a dunker, but Vince, like, to be in that commercial with him, it was like that was my first like this is different moment. And so I'll always that'll be a big memory for me.
Now here comes
Let and real keep quick, Greeny.
Yeah.
Yeah, real quick, Greeny, to add to that, if you know the first bounce, I don't know why I remember this. Right here. You can't make it.
Look, we cut it off. But, that's the moment where they started to laugh. Right at the end, they do start to laugh.
You can't keep a straight face with the guy. But like I said, it was epic because, you know, it was like a fun thing. But I had respect for RJ as an athlete and the dunker. And that's kind of how it evolved into that great commercial. It was like, I remember that first bounce off the backboard. That was kind of my warm up. And he was like, okay, he turns and does a 360. And it was just back and forth. And it was real reaction. That wasn't a made-up reaction. Those were true, genuine reactions to each other's athleticism and dunks.
Can I just say something, Vince? You say the most remarkable things. Like, that bounce off the backboard was kind of my warm-up. That's a sentence that no human being has ever said before in the history of the English language. So it was a lot of fun talking to you. Okay, I have to run. Guys, thank you for this. Thank you for your honesty and emotion today.
Thank you,
and
Greeny.
For the fun as well. You're the best. RJ, thank you. Vince Carter, pleasure. We'll do it again soon. Meanwhile, we'll take a break. Is it more likely that Brady and his Bucks miss the playoffs or host the Super Bowl? We'll answer that question and more next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up after what was a remarkable night last night in the NBA's bubble. One of the games involved the Clippers with a big win for their team, bouncing back and beating the Mavericks. But after the game, the conversation was about anything but the basketball that had been played. The comments of Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Clippers, have created an enormous reaction because of the great respect that so many people across the world of sports and beyond have for him. This was an emotional Doc Rivers last night after the game.
All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. And it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
So those are the comments of Doc Rivers last night. Elsewhere in the world of sports, from the National Football League, the Detroit Lions as a team decided not to practice yesterday and instead to come out as a group together, united, and make comments and a stand about Black Lives Matter in the wake of the shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday. And so we continue here. Dominique Foxworth, and we'll get RC back. We're having a momentary technical issue with him. But we opened our show with a long and emotional conversation coming off of what Doc said and all of that. And then Dan Orlovsky, who's joined us in this last hour, I saw a tweet from you as a former Lion in which you offered some thoughts. I'd love you to share those here.
Yeah, Greeny, I played for the Lions for 7 years. I've never been more proud to be a small part of that organization than to watch what I saw yesterday. You know, the NFL locker room and sports locker rooms, but I'll speak to the NFL one. They're very unique places because you spend so much time sitting next to these guys that you don't really know. And then over time, you develop these really deep relationships that cross over so much more than just being teammate. They become these very intimate relationships where you start to love on these other grown men and you watch them be husbands and fathers and sons and brothers. And when you see them hurting, you in a way that you can't understand as a white man, you see them hurting and feeling this pain in a way that you can't understand. You just want to be there for them, to try to walk right next to them and to watch the Lions organization and their players do that yesterday. Because here's the reality. There's a great majority of the guys in the NFL or some players in the NFL that play really well and work really hard because they want to make a ton of money. And absolutely true. But there's a ton of players in the NFL that work really hard and play really hard because they want to do it with the people that are next to them. And it's really difficult to get to that point of working really hard if I don't know you care about me. And I think that's what we saw yesterday in Detroit. So just incredible to watch. It's one of those things that it's really difficult to describe, that emotion that those teammates share with each other. I give a ton of credit to them for doing that. And so also just on the Doc Rivers stuff, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. I feel pain just listening to it. I can't imagine trying to sit there or having to sit there and live that every single day. So I tip my hat to Doc Rivers. I tip my hat to guys, my brothers like Dom and RC. I'm with them. And I love those guys and I love the Lions for what they did yesterday.
Now, I don't, Dominique, want to try and recreate the emotion that we had at the beginning of our show today. I don't think that's possible, and candidly, my show's almost over. I don't have the time to do it. There is a question I'd like to ask you, if I can, that is just slightly off the topic. But I opened this hour by reporting that Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors told RJ Williams in a text that the team is meeting today to discuss the possibility of not playing an NBA playoff game tomorrow night. And I believe the words he used were anything and everything is on the table. And the coach of the Raptors, Nick Nurse, was on the show and said the team is getting ready to meet and they will talk through everything. I just wonder your perspective on that. I know it is a bit far afield, but for those who weren't with us, we opened the show with a lengthy discussion of this, and I won't ask you to try and go back to that place. Yeah. What are your thoughts as an athlete, and particularly as one who was so heavily involved with the union as you were, about the idea that an NBA playoff game tomorrow night might not be played here?
Yeah, I mean, I commend them for putting it on the table. I would in no means step into a position where I would tell them that they shouldn't play or even that they should play. But what I mentioned earlier in the first hour, that emotional block that you were talking about, I addressed this a bit there because I think that it's just an example of people just trying anything. The people who they expect to defend them or protect them, the people who we all elect to address these issues, have failed throughout the entire history of this country, frankly, have failed to create the environment that they promised, the environment that their documents say that they want to create. So in their absence of leadership, the players are stepping up and people are stepping up and they're going to push any button that they can, pull any lever that they can, enact any level of leverage or power that they can, which is what the players are doing right now. And I understand people who say that there's no direct connection to boycotting this game. You tend to think people say, well, you want to boycott, you'll applaud a boycott to a company because of that particular company's policy. So I understand why people would say, well, the NBA is not enacting this policy. Well, the basketball players don't have the leverage or the power to enact the type of change that they want to see. So they're going to enact any leverage that they have. And so I respect them. It's the same example of Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Like, Colin Kaepernick can't address all social injustice in the world, but what he can do is take a moment to shock your conscience into looking at what he thinks is important. And I think that's what the players are trying to do right now. I support it. I applaud it if they decide to do it. If they decide not to do it, I completely understand. But what I need people to understand is that this is not new. You could tell the pain in Doc Rivers' voice. This is not new to him. This is a reality that he's lived with for all of his life, and the reality that Black people have lived with since the inception of this, or frankly, before the inception of this country. So I think that if the players choose not to play, that is just an example of them just like anybody else in this country, using whatever leverage they have to draw attention to the things that are important, because people like Jacob Blake do not have the leverage. His father doesn't have the leverage to make everybody look. Breonna Taylor's parents or Breonna Taylor's mother or boyfriend don't have the leverage to make everybody look. But these athletes at this moment have that opportunity, and I applaud them for doing so.
Yeah, me too. Again, Nick, I have literally 1 minute left here, and I know this is a much more complicated question than that, but what effect do you feel it is having as you sit back and just watch? And we talked ever since George Floyd was killed, we have had these conversations repeatedly on this show, and we wondered what impact it would have when the NBA players came back in the bubble. What impact do you think it is having?
If nothing else, I think it stops the momentum that was headed in the other direction. When we're not talking about it, when we're quiet about it, when we're not protesting in the streets, when we are not inspecting policies with a fine-tooth comb, then the progress is the momentum of this country has always had. It is not the momentum forward. I understand Dr. King's great quote about about history bending towards justice. I don't think that's true unless someone is bending it, unless someone is pulling on it, unless lots of someones are pushing towards the justice that we seek. So it is not just an inevitability of history that we're going to bend towards progress. We must create the progress that we want, or the ingrained structures of the institutions that we live underneath, those will keep pushing us in the wrong direction as they have for so many decades.
All right, I have to leave it there because we're out of time. Dan Orlovsky, we'll see you on NFL Live today, brand new show. Dominique, thank you for everything this morning, and thanks to everybody for their openness and their honesty today. Coming up, First Take is just a few minutes away. Paul George certainly got it back going last night. Stephen A. and Max will talk about that and much more. First Take is less than 5 minutes away here on ESPN. We are out of time for Get Up this morning. I will be back at noon Eastern time, coast to coast on ESPN Radio, talking to you for 2 hours then, and I'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.